The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. You're listening to the Gunslinger Hour, brought to you from behind the Iron Curtain in Radio Free California. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And
KCBQ, right. San Diego.
1170 a.m.
I'd like to say hello to everybody in San Diego, and oh boy, are you in for some.
Welcome.
They have no idea what's coming their way, do they?
No, it's kind of like a train wreck coming right at you, and you have no
Get
clue.
Get off the tracks!
Yeah, forget about it. It's too late now.
Exactly, too
this
late.
This is Gunslingers, where we talk nothing but fun with firearms. And no politics except for all the politics.
Except for all of the politics.
If they would
all
leave us politics, alone, we would leave them alone.
But they don't leave us alone. You know, as old saying goes, guns only have two enemies, rust and the government.
Oh.
Yep.
So anyway, that's what we do here for anybody down in San Diego area who's just tuning in. At the top of the next hour, we have two more stations going to be joining us.
That's going to be KTIE in San Bernardino and KKNT in Phoenix.
That's right, folks. We're by
Look over your left shoulder.
We are the Gunslinger
Look over your left
Radio
We are the Gunslinger Network baby.
There's just something so wrong with all of this. Anyway.
It should never be.
It has nothing to do with fishing with a large purse seine or anything
like
that.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Purse anyway. It's a kind of a net. See, we're a network. See what I did there?
No.
Boy, it's always funny when you explain a joke, isn't it?
It makes it way better. That's what I've heard.
Anyway, I am Jeff Gunslinger, owner of Gunslinger's Gun Shop, Gunslinger Auctions, Gunslinger this, that, and the other thing.
Bakery.
270,534 years.
And counting.
Yeah,
we opened up right after the
Grass?
Cooling of the earth. Yeah, I was there actually. When dirt was invented. I was there.
There shall be light.
Yeah.
Did you decide on the color? Because you did a good job.
Yeah. Well, thank you kindly. Yeah, actually, I went with blue, but I got outvoted.
Again.
But you snuck it in the sky, man.
Yep. So, this week at the gun shop.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. As we all probably know by now, they got their stay, they being Excremento and the Demon Democrats.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
Right?
The
temporary suspension of the ammunition registration requirement.
St. Benitez gave us ammo for a few minutes. And of course, now we're back to doing the stupid, idiotic, asinine
$19
background check to buy ammo. So where police officers have literally, because it happened to me, I was trying to sell a police officer a box of 9mm and he got denied.
Oh yeah. Extortion, you say?
It's always okay to tax a right.
Yeah,
that's what I say.
So anyway, they got their stay, so now we're back to doing that.
Yeah,
hopefully this gets pushed along. We'll have Rick from the CRPA in the next segment, and he'll
talk a little bit.
I'm sure he'll have
that.
A few things to say about that. This week at the gun shop, we basically, holy cow, all we did was just get the stuff ready because it's next Saturday.
6 days away, folks.
Yeah.
That's forever from. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Next weekend.
We have an auction next Saturday, February 17th. That's at the Elks Lodge in Santa Ana.
Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that conveniently halfway between San Diego and Los Angeles?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Kind of, sort of.
Find it.
It's 750 guns that we're going to be selling that day.
One day. Come on, folks.
Yeah. If you've never been to an auction, I highly recommend you come. If you don't want to be there live because you're afraid of, you know, getting you know, whatever disease the Democrats are throwing at us this week.
Yeah. The ATF.
Then all you got to do is go to gunslingerauctions.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a box that says bid now. Click on that. That'll take you right to the catalog. You can see everything that we're going to sell.
Pictures, in descriptions line. Of everything.
All of it's there. If you want to bid online, you can bid online. If you want to call us and do phone bids or sealed bids or just come on in, I highly recommend you be there. It's the least expensive is to bid
save
there
you
live.
On that premium.
Yep. So that's that. This is a live show.
Yes,
so if you guys want to give us a call.
That's going to be 866-870-5752. One more time, it's going to be 866-870-5752.
Yeah, and you want to give us a call. You got questions on firearms. You got questions on paperwork. All the redonkulous stuff that Excremento keeps throwing at us.
Yes.
Well, you know, we'll do our best to answer it correctly.
Hopefully put out some fires.
I mean, I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on TV, but other than lawyer questions, you know, if it's got something to do with paperwork, we pretty much can cover it.
Plus, we got Rick from the California Rifle and Pistol Association coming on, so on the next, something to ask him.
So there's
and
that.
One last thing. We are up on three streams right now. Besides the new networks we're on today, we have our Gunslinger Hour radio show on YouTube, Rumble, and Facebook Live. So leave your questions and comments there. I'm all over it. See a lot of people we have. Listen to Tom, Dave over on Facebook. Got Mr. Enigma and Robert Jones over on YouTube. And then Hendo over on Rumble. So all of them are going. All of them are rolling. So join it.
All right. Let's get to Richard at the airport. Richard, how are you?
Good evening, you Super Bowl gunslinger.
Sounds like you're at a Super Bowl party, Richard.
Pardon?
He said pardon?
Oh, I said it sounds like you're at a Super Bowl party yourself.
I am, definitely.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Okay, still making time for us.
What can we do for you tonight?
I want to know, what is the advantage of a 12-gauge shotgun over a 10-gauge shotgun?
It would be easier to just say, what isn't? First off, a 10-gauge shotgun is going to break your shoulder. It's a pretty hefty recoil, number one. Number two, good luck finding ammo. Number three, if you do find it, you better bring two wallets because it's going to be expensive. Number four, with 12-gauge being the most popular gauge in shotgun across the United States at least, there is a million different types, kinds, styles.
And you'll find them in stock virtually anywhere from hardware stores to gun stores.
Yeah, very Walmart. Few places are you going to be able to walk in and find anything in 10-gauge. And if you do, it's going to be very limited to probably duck or goose.
The goose slugs.
Yeah.
It's a very big, powerful cartridge generally, and it's for people that like shooting 747s out of this. No, seriously, it's a very big, powerful round. And the guns are accordingly larger and heavier, too, so kind of heavy, kind of unwieldy.
Yeah. We've sold many in the past, and usually a 10-gauge shotgun. Browning makes one. Ithaca used to make one.
The Ithaca Roadblocker.
Yeah, well,
you've been warned.
Yeah, you can't have that no more. But they made, I think it was a Model 10, a semi-auto in a flat black. And that thing, it was like 18 pounds. It's it's a beast of a shotgun. We've sold bunches of them over the years at auction. But anyway, Richard, hope that answers your question.
They keep coming back with 17 shells left in the box.
Exactly. You got a joke for us tonight, Richard?
Do you know why Taylor Swift was at the Super Bowl today? Do you know why?
No, why?
No.
Well, actually, she was their second choice. I was their first choice. And the reason is that I told them that I was committed to the Gunslinger.
I appreciate that. That was not too swift of them.
Oh.
No.
And on that note, Richard, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, next week.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Okay, that opens up a line at...
That's going to be 866-870-5752. So if you're in any of our new networks, come on down and give us a call, too. Tell us what's going on with you tonight.
Yeah, I realize that some folks are probably still watching this Fakakta game, but you guys are
seconds left.
I'm sorry.
It's over here.
There's 3 seconds left. 9 seconds left in the game.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Three-point difference right at the goal line. We'll see what happens. Yeah. See, let's see if we can hear anyone celebrating outside of the
studio. Sorry. I just couldn't care less. I gave up on football. Like I said earlier, I retired from watching football when Fran Tarkenton retired from playing football. So that puts me back pre – that's incredible, I think.
I'm a Johnny Unitas man myself.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Man, I missed that show. Gosh darn it.
Yeah. Oh, John Davidson – Fran Tarkenton and who is the lady? This is a little for Toby Keith.
Oh, hey.
No, that's
don't,
not shaking.
Don't let God the old bless. Man in. Yeah. It's a good song. This was a song he wrote for Clint Eastwood. Anyway, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA and KCBQ.
And we'll be back right after this. Hopefully we get Rick from the CRPA on the phone, Kevin.
Woo!
Thank you. Okay, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA. Yeah.
Don't let the old man in.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom.
Now they often call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister. Mm-hmm. You know, they often call me Speedo, but my real name is Mister.
Boom, boom.
Oh yeah. Right.
Enjoy the music.
Quick. Pull the plug or we'll get pulled off radio.
What's going on there is we are under a very strict time limitation. Not to exceed, is it 20 seconds?
20 seconds.
On the bumper music.
Do
otherwise,
it hard 17,
people get their,
that's what I said.
Yeah, I just start getting into the song and we're
right?
going to pull it. Anyway, welcome back to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA
and
KKNT Phoenix and KCBQ San Diego.
That's a lot of...
Look at it. We're growing. That's all we're going to
like
say.
Vegetable
we just
soup
picked up
here.
Another station on the commercial break.
Yeah, we sure
I mean,
did.
How cool is that?
And, of course, the stupid bowl just went into overtime.
Oh, God. Oh, we got 3 seconds. Yeah, see if they can run it back real fast.
Yeah, apparently we're probably not going to be picking up too many phone calls in the next
3 seconds.
Yeah.
We'll actually probably run like another half an hour for being.
Yeah.
You know what? We're here. You could be too.
Yeah. There you go. And speaking of being here, let's go to Rick in the CRPA. Rick, how are you?
Good.
So good. What's going on? Yeah. Yep. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not watching the stupid bowl, so I'm good.
Hey.
So, gentlemen, the bills have started to drop, and I feel good that I do a pretty good job at this of telling you guys what's going to happen because all of these new bills have the following words on them. May be acted upon or after March 8th, which is why I said they were going to start dropping bills
right.
and pumping them out not to be touched until after the primary. Mm-hmm. How cute.
Why is
anyways.
That?
Yeah. But these first three that came out this week, and we're going to get a boatload of them over the next, probably 5 days because they have till the 16th to drop all of them. So next Sunday should be just a wild time. But for today, they're really strange. Bradford, who's out of the Gardena area, brought forward a bill, Senate Bill 1020, but all three of these from the Senate. And this has to do with law enforcement agency shooting range targets. And I always tell our community, like, you should watch what they do to law enforcement. You should watch what they do to, you know, if you're on the hunting side, to dog breeds and stuff, because it tells you what's coming in the future to everybody.
Yep.
So here you go. No longer, if Bradford gets his way, will any people of color ever be in a target.
So you can't have training targets.
No, targets can't have any people of color.
Aren't
so
we all color?
I guess you can only shoot white people. I don't get where this is going for sure, but
oh,
I think
sure
a lot
you
of
do.
The, white a lot of the things that we currently shoot at, I mean, zombies, other things, this is saying that they cannot have any color.
Police training ranges try to create realistic scenarios. So you can't
did
have
you realistic,
realistic
real with the legislature. Did you really just say that?
the words left my mouth.
He
I
lost
apologize.
His mind for a minute, Rick. Don't mind him.
but that's their first one. The next two are from our wonderful sarcasm, Senator Blake Spear. So the first one is 1019, and she is demanding in this bill that every firearm taken by law enforcement will be that's confiscated, seized, abandoned, unclaimed, or surrendered will be destroyed. And thus, and she goes into great detail. That means in its entirety by smelting, shredding, crushing, or cutting all parts of the firearm, including any attachments. She wants them completely wiped out.
And they're already taken off the streets, and they're all already doing whatever they want. She just wants to destroy more firearms for...
Because they're bad, Jimmy.
Oh, my gosh. Can we also do that with everything else? I mean...
Drunk drivers' cars?
I mean, anything.
Hammers? Once hammers taste blood.
All the knives in my house. I know they have the opportunity someday to get up and do something bad, so you might as well take those from me, too, right?
I'm a spork man myself.
Well, you know,
oh,
there are some countries and parts of the world where they have come for your knives.
Yes, they have. Yes, indeed they have.
Yeah.
So.
And then the next one she has is just simply titled Firearms. But all of you, probably like me, remember the painstaking year of 2016 when Governor Newsom ran through his Proposition 63, the Safety for All Act. And in that act, which was a proposition... And you're not supposed to be as a legislature to change a proposition. The only way a proposition changes is if we, the people,
the people.
Run another proposition, right? Mm-hmm. Well, evidently, Bikester doesn't care because she wants to go in and amend that so that instead of 5 days of when you allegedly should, and it's never been defined what that means, know what firearm is lost or stolen, will now be taken down to 2 days. And if you can't, if you don't follow that, then you lose everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get on it.
One of my first questions I'm going to ask after March 8th, when I can actually ask a question, is going to be, what grand travesty happened that made you feel compelled to move us from 5 days to 2 days? I mean, since 2016, has there been a mass shooting because, damn it, someone didn't report something in five days? Because I've never heard that, but. We'll see.
This time limit that they're just inventing now, it's just, again, unrealistic, just uncalled for. So, yeah, trying to look at this from a...
This is the highest paid state legislature in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're doing with their time.
Well, and, you know, some people out there might listen to this and go, well, why are you mocking this? And the reason I'm mocking this is because, you know, if you have a cabin... or a rental house, or a vacation home, anything like that. Or you go to one of those places, you could be gone for several days. Mm-hmm. And when you first come home, you're not thinking, oh, honey, let me go check everything.
Let me go
first,
inventory.
Let's go check. Yeah. Let's go do an inventory, right?
Yeah, you're not going to do that right away. So it could be, you know, more than 48 hours before you knew something was wrong. And what she's saying is, well, you took more than 48 hours, so... Yep, you lose everything. So this is just becoming more and more draconian. This is a great prime example of it's unconstitutional for the legislature to amend a proposition. Otherwise, don't you think the legislature would have amended Prop 13 from years ago?
This creation of new things, I think they're better for us. It's just...
This is about control.
Yes,
this isn't better for
anyone. Of course, but this is for logic.
This is the veil. The veil of safety is the concern, and it's that's all it is a thin veil to procure some more control.
Yeah, and I think going back to you can read the writing on the wall. If you go back and you look at Bradford's bill on the shooting range targets, and then Holden's bill on. Children's camp shooting ranges, you can tell that shooting ranges is their next, no pun intended, target.
So the silhouettes will probably have to be gray, I'm assuming now, even if they're just silhouettes.
It would shock me if they made everybody shoot at a square or a circle or some other shape.
No, you can't do shapes because those are people too. People can be anything.
Somebody could identify as a rectangle.
I mean, I stand corrected. You could identify as a triangle.
Exactly.
A
rectangle. Yeah. The Hallmark movie.
Oh, goodness.
We're making fun, but
I'm sorry,
these
but it's really
not
funny, is it? Hey, no. Rick, where are we at on the ammunition situation?
Oh, yeah. So,
bring us up to speed on that?
Yeah. The ammunition situation. So we're back to where we were So for those people who got to have fun having things delivered to your house, you can still have it delivered to an FFL from out of state, but you'll have to pay the additional fees. You can no longer have it sent to your house, and that is until we find out what goes on. As we move, probably sometime April or May, we'll be getting something down for the Ninth Circuit. And, of course, I anticipate we'll get a win, but then I also anticipate that the Attorney General and the Governor will throw a fit. And if he's still here and hasn't moved on to his presidential run at that point.
He's not running. He keeps saying.
So, yeah, I mean, that's where we're looking at. And at that point, it will go straight to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
But the one everybody needs to remember is while Rhodey's important, while a lot of these other ones are important, is Duncan, that it looks like the Ninth Circuit is waiting for to see what the Supreme Court's going to do with Duncan. And so Duncan has a very high probability of becoming the next landmark case right up there with McDonald, Heller, and Bruin.
Wow. Well, that's really, I mean, all those names.
And just to remind people, that will have been 8 years of the CRPA litigating against the state of California.
And they can't do it unless you guys help out.
Yeah. I mean, and I remember when we saw each other at the Costa Mesa Gun Show, and you had that gentleman, I keep getting his name.
Costas Morris.
Costas. And he's right there with you, and he's dealing with his own fights on his side and stuff. And you guys, I mean, just the fights, the uphill battles that you guys are positive on, it's just such a reassuring thing that I know this is such a hard fight and you need all the help you can get, and you guys are a wrecking crew, and we applaud you so much for that.
Yeah, and I want to thank you guys, because with your radio station expanding, it helps get the message out there. I'm really, really grateful to you, Jeff, and to you guys that help them out on Sundays. But it's also warning the people. I mean, you know, I go to Arizona, you know, quite often to visit friends and stuff, and I always have to remind them, you know, go ahead and laugh, but realize the number one organization I face off in the Capitol that writes bills is Giffords, who's headquartered in
Arizona.
Mm-hmm. So,
and Newsom, who keeps insisting on all the commercials that he's running, that he's not running for president.
Yeah. You know, we all hear it too, Rick. You know, our friends that have moved out of here and have moved over to Arizona, and they think, ha ha ha, you know, we're out of all of that. But, you know, liberalism is a disease, it's a mental illness. Mm-hmm. And what do illnesses do but spread?
Well, and Hawaii, I don't know if you guys saw it, but this week, Hawaii was just, it was.
Oh, boy.
It would have been laughable if it wasn't so sad, but you had the Supreme Court in Hawaii trying to go back to when the state wasn't even a part of the country. And then when that didn't work, then they said, well, we would like to quote a line from a TV show called The Wire, which says what is old and what is new is new.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you get the real standard.
We're coming up on a hard break, and now with all the extra channels, we don't get to mess around anymore. Anybody wants to donate their time, their money, or join, how do they get a hold of you?
CRPA.org. If they have questions, contact at CRPA.org. And guys, be safe, shoot straight, and fight back.
All right, appreciate it, Rick. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you later. All right, little Pink Floyd, and we're coming to the bottom of our first hour. This is Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And we're going to be right back.
Yes, we will.
Money, it's a gap. Babe, please don't go. Babe, please don't go. Babe, please don't go down in New Orleans. You know I love you, so babe, please don't go.
Welcome back, everybody. A little Van Morrison and them for everybody. Gotta get you going in your chair.
Yoo!
All right, baby. Here we go with another call out of the station. Can you dig it?
How many Cokes did you just have?
Oh,
just
three or four.
Did you mainline them?
Feeling good. Somebody call me.
Oh, man. Welcome back, everybody. It's just, you know, sometimes after you talk to Rick, it gets so depressing around here. Hey, this is a live show. We are taking phone calls.
Sure.
I know you guys are watching the damn game, but feel free to give us a call.
And that's going to be 866-870-5752. If you're calling out of San Bernardino or San Diego, I mean Phoenix or San Diego, same number, 866-870-5752.
I'd love to hear from somebody from Phoenix.
That would be real nice.
I tell you what. Your questions. In the meantime, what we're going to talk about is February 17th.
Jeez.
Okay. Some of the stuff we have, I have never seen before. We have two, count them, two Mincent, well.
that's the one after one.
Yeah. Eight bore Holland and Holland exposed hammer paradoxes. Well, what a paradox is it's an eight bore shotgun, you know, basically an eight gauge shotgun, but the last couple of inches of that barrel are rifled.
Rifle.
So you can shoot a slug out of it. And keep in mind, this is 1800s. They didn't have rifled slugs back then. So you can shoot an eight bore slug, which is roughly the size of a quarter. Yeah. And it will pick up the rifling at the end of the barrel and send it out like a standard projectile. Absolutely beautiful condition, both of them, in their original leather cases with all the accoutrements.
How old are those cases?
Well, both of them, they're from the 1880s.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. they look at, there's a bit of history, especially with those firearms.
Yeah.
You can see the art and the texture to everything that's in the box. It's just, as a whole, it's like you're owning something that was really of the past.
We have another Holland and Holland. It's called a Royal Deluxe.
Who's Holland and Holland?
Holland and Holland is one of the premier firearms manufacturers that go all the way back to, holy cow,
mid 1800s. Yeah.
Yes. They're
this
based
is the kind
of
place that fits them to you.
Yeah. And this the Royal Deluxe that I'm talking about, it's a 12-gauge paradox, meaning, again, you can shoot a 12-gauge or a 12-gauge slug. This was custom-made for the gentleman that we got – well, we got it from his family because he's no longer with us. In its box, this is one of three made in the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
It total custom build. They don't make these.
Nope.
And his cost was over $150,000.
Let me wipe my brow real fast.
Right? I mean, and we took this gun to the Costa Mesa show. We took this gun
to the antique show
in Vegas, and we had people drooling all over it.
This is one of those things, if you know, you really know.
Yep. This is just one of so many highlights in this auction. You know, we've got your basic shooting irons too, of course.
Tell me about the bread and butter.
You know, Winchesters, Browning, Smith & Wesson revolvers.
How about a high power? I'm in the mood for a high power.
We've got a couple Browning high powers. You know,
they're
a staple
POAs.
We always get.
Any Lugers?
Oh boy, do we have some Lugers. We've
got
three Krieghoff Lugers. We've got a Black Beauty Luger, which is...
That's the black...
Yeah, black grips. Yeah, you know, World War II made. We probably have 7 to 10, I think, Luger POAs.
You kind of, if you're a firearms collector, actually, if you're even just interested in handguns of any sort, you kind of have to have a Luger,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a must. Every collection's got to have
it's
one.
It's so iconic.
We've got artillery Lugers.
Do we have those red nines? Were they in the last one?
The Bolos? Mm-hmm. We've got a Bolo, but it's a broom handle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got a broom handle. Absolutely beautiful broom handle with its original stock. And this is not an aftermarket, mm-hmm. You know.
Where might I have run into a broom handle if I am not a firearms fan, if say I'm a sci-fi fan?
Oh, Han Solo's blaster was, yeah, Han Solo.
He shot first. Dude.
Yeah.
Talk about iconic.
In the first movie, and, you know, there's been several, because I know that Little John had one from Stenbridge that sold several years ago for $250,000, and now there's a couple other places that claim they've got it. So who knows? You know, it's kind of like Doc Holliday's shotgun from the,
right.
You know, I think there's at least eight museums out there that have the shotgun. Yeah. And
was it Bat Masterson who used to go to pawn shops, pick up whatever they had and say this was the gun he had with him?
And so on and so forth. Yeah.
God bless him.
Well, and you know, Jesse James' mother did the same thing. She would go pick up any old thing and said this was the gun
that he was carrying. Yeah.
And
oh, good.
Even back in the 1800s, there were collectors. Go figure.
Oh, yeah. They knew there were – these are always investments. That's what I tell people. When you're a gun collector, you're an investor.
Yeah, because – well, you know what you are really is you're a curator.
Yeah.
I mean, an investor, sure, but a curator mostly because the guns are going to last.
They'll outlast us if we take care of them.
Yeah, we don't. So because I've got stuff that goes way back and
you
would
just – got them from someone and they got them from someone.
And so on. And it would be like when we have Winchester 1873 serial number 6. Now, this is the lowest –
serial number 6.
Yeah, it's number 6. 1 through 5 are lost to history.
So it's that's – seriously, that's the first day of production.
It basically is. The gun, of all things, was sent to, you know, the hub of Western everything, Pennsylvania.
There are many desperados in the hills of Pennsylvania.
Right. It was sent to Pennsylvania, and the man that got it was so enthused and loved that gun so much that he wrote a beautiful letter to Winchester on the, you know, what a great gun it was. And Winchester used his letter to promote that gun from the beginning till the end of the run, which is in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Yeah, that was a heck of a letter. We found all of this out. I won't mention the name, but when we got the gun, it's such a great piece of history, and we thought, wouldn't this be good for a certain Winchester, you know, if somebody were to collect and make a magazine? I'm not going to mention names, but and so I call them and they go, "Well, what do you want us to put?" And it's like, "Well, you know, maybe you could do some background." Well, I mean, other than it's number 6,
What else?
It's like, well, I don't, you know, don't you have some reporters, some investigative people?
And they might find this modestly interesting.
Had absolutely no interest. And so it's like, okie doke. So we dug into some books, and my buddy Gil, he found all of this stuff out on the gun, and we printed all of this. And that gun went for a nice 6-figure sale.
It was a good day.
Yeah, it was a good day. It was a fun one to sell.
Oh boy, howdy. So where and when is this event again?
It's this coming Saturday, February 17th. It's at the Elks Lodge in Santa Ana. Mm-hmm. Again, go to gunslingerauctions.com, and everything you want to know, you can get signed up to our newsletter. Everything, yeah. You know, we send out emails all the time telling you when the next auction is and so on and so forth. And boy, do we got some news for May. May 19th is our next one coming up. Oh. And May 19th is already full. We're literally, anything we're taking in now is going into September. May 19th, if you guys are into high standards, oof.
Welcome.
Yeah, boy, are you going to want to be there.
And just in case, I know over 700 firearms sounds a little daunting, maybe a little intimidating at a moment, but we move fast, folks. Mm. Jeff is our auctioneer, our head auctioneer, and we make sure we're not dawdling on anything.
Yeah.
If you're looking to snipe something, hate to turn that phrase right down, it's not going to happen. You got to be on it because it's gone.
Yeah. For instance, we do well over 100 lots an hour.
An hour.
We had 750 in our December auction. We started at 11. We were done at 4:30.
Oh, yeah. We were out of there.
So that's
We had to come and do the show.
Yeah, we had to come do the show. We don't have to do that this time. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It's going to be real good. We don't have to
hustle back.
Yeah. Of course, I'm always more hoarse the next day, and that's auction day. So, you know what? While we've got 2 minutes left in this segment, we have a new sponsor, okay? Frontier Gun Leather, okay? And Frontier Gun Leather is going to have a special offer. They're also known as Leonardo of Leather. I like that.
Okay. Leonardo of Leather.
If you use Gunslinger at checkout, you get to claim a 10% discount. There is something for every shooter at Frontier Gun Leather. Each item is handmade from premium materials. Each piece is lined with smooth leather to extend the life of the holster, aid in retention and protection, the finish of your firearm. Holsters are custom fit to your handgun, and all belts are made to your specific measurements. Frontier Gun Leather offers a painless custom leather experience. So give them a call, 760 760- 895-4401 or check out their lineup of offerings on their website at frontiergunleather.com. They're looking forward to making your next piece of gun leather. Oh, and don't forget, 10% discount if you mention Gunslingers. Go to frontiergunleather.com. That's our friend Matt. We've known him for 1,000 years.
Good man. Yep. Welcome aboard, man.
We appreciate it. And anybody else want to be a sponsor, feel free to give us a call.
Join the family.
I hear music. That means we're going...
going hard, going fast.
And we'll be back right after this.
Yes, we will. I have a pretty señorita waiting for me.
Trying to figure out what this is.
The sun is sinking in the west.
This is an interesting
version. The cattle go down to the stream. The red wing settles in the nest. It's time for a cowboy to dream. Purple eyes in the canyons. That's where I long to be with my three good companions. Just my rifle, pony, and me.
Welcome back, everybody.
Gosh, darn.
That's an interesting version.
Yeah, you gotta run that one all the way.
Yeah, one of these days. Anyway, welcome back to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And
that's KKNT Phoenix and KCBQ San Diego.
Woohoo.
And starting actually in the next hour, we're going to be on KTIE San Bernardino.
So there you go.
Hopefully they'll tune in too.
All four stations will be going. And how's this stupid game going?
All part of the
still going.
Gunslinger Radio Network, baby.
They're trying to end it with a score
again,
right here.
Again, you got any questions? You got any questions about what? Calibers or uses or...
or
safety
paperwork.
Well, we did have a good question on Facebook. I kind of want to get it out to the very public and all that. We do have a 30-day per gun coming up in June.
One gun every 30 days.
Yeah. California started this with handguns a few years back, and now they've made it all semi-autos. And as of January 1st of this year, it's all firearms.
Mm-hmm. You know, just see that
for
one
some
step
reason,
after the other.
They have decided that you are not allowed to buy more than one firearm every 30 days. Now, who are they?
The experts.
You
can tell because they make $178,000 a year.
Yeah.
So they must be experts.
And shockingly, they go into office with no money in their bank account, and they come out with millions.
So, but at this auction and our following auction, that is, we're falling below the deadline and all that. So you get them. As long as, because again, we are mostly consignment, so these are all private party transfers for a majority of them, and so you'll be released from that.
So, to answer the question, if anybody at this auction or the May auction, if you buy more than one firearm and you're in the Southern California area, you can come in and you can do all your paperwork under one. But you can do them all at one time. You do not have to wait 30 days.
Nope.
In between.
So, yes, if you have a couple purchases in mind looking at the catalog, don't sweat it. You'll be fine coming in.
This one and the next. And then, of course, like I was saying, July 1st, this new law comes into place. And July 1st, it will also be sued. And hopefully we get a judge on it quickly. And
real quickly, why do you have to wait until July 1st?
Because you have to show damages.
Show harm, yeah.
Yes. And I don't know if I'm going to be – I was going to be
the
lead
plaintiff.
I was going to be lead plaintiff on another one, but NSSF decided to take that
They're
one.
They're going
to
do
so,
that?
Yeah. So
good for them.
Yeah.
But.
And so this one, I believe the CRPA is going to pick up. Mm-hmm. And if they do, I might or I may not be the lead plaintiff.
You know, the old,
I'd rather not be, to be honest with you. But
all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to
do nothing. Yep.
So you were only to stand up and – good.
Yeah.
Good.
So, you guys are boring me. What the hell? Give us a call.
That's going to be 866-870-5752. Again, 866-870-5752. 877-570-5752. You have questions about any of the guns you see in the catalog. You have questions about more paperwork questions, saying about the 30 days and all. If you have questions about just buying a new firearm, traveling, maybe some of our friends in Phoenix want to know if they can get out back over here with their guns or vice versa. You let us know. Well, give us a call.
And our Phoenix friends, I'll be heading your way here at the end of the month.
Yeah.
At Ben Avery, the World Championship for Cowboy Action Shooting, or SAS, Single Action Shooting Society, will be held the February 28th weekend.
Yeah.
I'll be heading out of here Wednesday, I think it's the 26th, and shooting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then heading home Saturday so I can be back for this. Are you going?
I am going.
Okay. Are you doing the whole thing or just
one? I'm doing the whole dang thing.
Okay.
But I'll be back for the Sunday night after.
Okay.
You know what? Good. I want to see if I can free up maybe that Friday and Saturday and join you guys.
You know what? Do it. I would love to. It is such an event.
And, you know, Mark and I have been shooting cowboy action for a long, long time. And since we've got new stations, we're going to delve into this a little bit. For those of you that don't know, SAS, or the Single Action Shooting Society, at one time was the biggest and fastest growing gun sport in the United States and basically the world. Unfortunately, because of time, age, some mismanagement, it's slowed down some. And I would love to see this start to come back again.
Absolutely.
You know, for those of you that are completely unfamiliar, imagine the Renaissance Fair. Everybody knows what the Ren Fair is. You know, you go and everybody says, you know,
huzzah!
Huzzah! And everybody's dressed in all the period
except
stuff.
Except for cowboys.
And, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, what cowboy action shooting or end of trail, which is our world championship, basically it's the Ren Fair, but instead of pirates, it's all cowboy stuff.
Literally thousands of them.
Yeah.
Literally thousands of cowboys on site. It's like walking into Deadwood. It's like walking into 1880s Montana.
Except that you don't get shot at by anybody.
And you won't shooting is a target. Or the plague. Or,
yeah.
Smallpox.
Yeah. Or dying from diarrhea. Or, yeah, bad tooth. So if you ever get a chance, I highly recommend you just come out. And if there is a match somewhere fairly close here in Southern California just about every weekend. Today, I was at the world famous Double R Bar, which is out in Lucerne. It's at the Lions Club. And of course, the Double R Bar refers to Roy Rogers because, Roy Rogers lived not far from where this range is. And
one of the best ranges in cowboy action shooting, by the way.
It's absolutely stepping into old time.
Yeah.
I shot today off of a Gallo. I shot out of a bar.
Out of a bar, which, by the way, is a functional bar. Once the shooting is over.
Yep. And afterwards, we all went in, had hot dogs. They did told everybody their scores. And then they had a Super Bowl party. I didn't get to stay because I had to come back and do some stuff at the house because we had all kinds of work going on at the shop. So I didn't get to stay. But and then there's the drive home. You know, on Sunday, everybody's coming home from Vegas and so I had to deal with that.
But still, special bunch of people. This is, honestly, we have tried between us virtually every shooting sport.
Isn't a shooting sport I haven't tried outside of, for a minute, they were trying to do cowboy action with gangster guns, and I really wanted to go do it. 1911s and Thompson's for the long gun. And I think they were using 97s, if I recall.
97s Model 12s.
Yeah, oh, nice. for the shotguns. And it looked like so much fun. But, man, it was here and gone so quick. I never got a chance.
You dress up in your zoot suit. Yeah, the zoot suit shoot. Let's go.
Anyway, is there any sport that's more fun? You dress up like you're a 12-year-old, but the firearms are real.
Yeah, and I mean, to show you, now, in 1996, 97, my cousin Bill, he goes to Tombstone and he runs into Wyatt Earp Days out there. And he calls me and says, man, you got to see this SAS stuff. It's the greatest. And I'm right in the middle of trying to get my first gun shop open. So I'm talking and I was like, wow, I want to check this out. I started shooting in late 1997. I joined in early 98, I think, at one of the gun show at the Pomona. In fact, the Pomona gun show. My SAS number is 16409, so I've been around a while.
You were talking about the growth. What year was that? 98?
Yeah, 98.
I joined in 2000, 27,000.
Yeah.
In two freaking years.
And now we're well over 100,000. I'm about to get lapped. know? I know they're over 110, so pretty soon they're going to go over 116,409. It's going to be out there somewhere.
As you know, I shot the European Championship this summer.
Mm-hmm.
They had 360 shooters.
Yeah.
Almost half of them shot Wild Bunch as well. That match sold out in 8 hours.
I believe it.
In 8 hours, and there's a whole contingent of Europeans going to be over here for the World Championship.
And can't wait to see them all because they're all
great
good friends.
Bunch of guys.
Yeah, Big Phil and his whole crew of Germans are just an absolute blast to shoot with.
What a hoot. Don't try and keep up with them with the beer.
Oh, no.
Rookie
no.
mistake.
Europeans
seasoned.
Yeah, they drink a little differently than we do.
So. I was introduced, the first time I went over there, I was introduced to a concept you guys might not be familiar with this, called breakfast beer.
Mm.
I used just to so do. You know how the rest of your day is going.
What does it taste like on Cheerios? A little sugar on the side.
I remember from college, to be honest.
Oatmeal tastes much different.
Yeah.
Barley, oats, and hops.
But it still has all those major nutritional factors.
Cream of beer?
cream of beer.
If you pour it slowly, you get just the right head on your
head. Yeah. I had, hey, just in case, I know we have a lot of people coming in on the feeds and all that, but there was a quick question about 350 Legend. If you have any words or...
There are some states that allow early hunting or only allow hunting with straight wall cases.
Mm-hmm.
And the 350 Legend is a straight wall hunting case.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so in California,
it's made to fit into typically an AR platform.
Okay. Well, kind of like the 300 blackout ish.
The same idea, straight wall.
Yeah.
So you meet the legal requirements. Yeah. It's got enough punch to knock down. It's a 30-30.
We don't really cover a whole bunch of hunting on this show, and I do that on purpose because it makes a lot of folks uncomfortable. You know, I don't have anything against it. It's just not my cup of tea. I'm getting a leg cramp, so don't blame me if I'm
stretching out,
squirreling around over here. It's just not my cup of tea. Again, I don't begrudge anybody that wants to go do it. I don't have the time, to get up early to drive so far to get the tags and all the stuff that you have to go through to get a hunting license.
You don't have enough time to do a lot of things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes
so
a lot of sense.
It's just not something that I'm likely going to do anytime soon. And like I always tell people, I can do all my hunting I need at Vaughn's. I don't have to get up early. The meat's right there. I don't have to have it.
But you know what? It's a time honored part of American history.
And people that harvest
their own game. And those of you, especially in California, this is not that big a thing, but the northern states,
mm-hmm.
in the Midwest and back east, this is a place where people are adding protein to their diet for 7 months out
I've
of the year.
I've got a good amount of family living out in Arkansas and stuff, and they tune into the show and they let me know all about it. Actually, one of my cousins brought her boy out for his 13th birthday to do some shooting, and I was really happy to see that. Great to see them out there, and I know they do a good bit of hunting out there. So
and that's they're harvesting game the same way that you'd knock down a Yarra corn or something like that.
Yeah. You know, back when I first opened up, we had lots of hunters that used to come in, and they would bring me stuff. My freezer was always full of venison and moose and one time bear. You remember Jim Hayden?
Oh, yeah. I love Jim.
Yeah.
Hey,
bear.
Jim moved up to the High Sierras with his kids, but he used to come in with trout and,
man, he was such a pleasant.
Big Scott used to come in with rattlesnake.
Okay, you can keep the rattlesnake.
Yeah.
We had one of the guys did the show, the Ultimate Marksman show with us, had cancer. And by eating a lean protein diet, he actually chased it out of his system. So a lot of the stuff that we eat, as you well know, is raised on farms and artificially fattened and stuff like that. And just by eating game meat, he took care of himself.
All right, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA, KKNT, KCBQ.
And soon to be
KTIE.
Holy cow, that's a lot of K's.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We'll be back for our second power-packed hour
power.
Right after this.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. You're listening to the Gunslinger Hour, brought to you from behind the Iron Curtain in Radio Free, California.
Wait a minute. Did we already do this?
I'm having flashbacks.
I tell you what, welcome back, everybody, to the Gunslinger Show right here on K
R L A
and
K T I E
and
K K N T
and
K C B Q. Gosh darn, I'm gonna run out of breath doing all those.
All those many, many stations. Why? Because they're all part of the Gunslinger Radio
Network. Yeah, we are a
syndicated network.
Listen
heavy
to
on
us,
the
folks.
Sin. Decaded. No,
so we're in LA, San Diego, San Bernardino, and Phoenix. Welcome. We're crossing borders.
And we're coming to you.
And we'll be heading North California fairly soon. And we're working on, you know, Salem does not have anything in Vegas. Can you?
In Vegas?
Yeah. Can you believe that? RJ, they don't have anything in Nevada. Yeah, we need to. Is that because of the gambling deal?
I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah, maybe we need to get something that's like right on the border of California, Nevada.
Yeah. Just like the old pirate radio station.
Yeah. Pirate radio. Yeah.
Wolfman Jack.
Wolfman Jack.
10 billion watts.
100,000 watts.
Yeah. All right, baby. Here we go with another call.
Maybe somewhere Reno border-wise.
Well, Reno's still Nevada.
What's right next to Reno? There's something right there. Tahoe. That's what it is. I know there's something.
Auburn.
You know, something. I don't know.
100,000 watts melting cars going by on the highway.
Dad, why is our car glowing? I don't know. Anyway, welcome back to Gunslingers right here on all them stations.
All of them.
Where we talk about nothing but
whatever the hell I feel like.
Especially second hour. Jeez.
Yeah. My second power pack
power.
Thank you, Leon. Anyway, in fact, Leon, if you're not doing nothing, give us a call. What's that number, Jimmy?
That's going to be 866-870-5752. One more time, 866-870-5752.
And we got a call from Sean in Covina. Hey. Sean, how are you?
Welcome back, Sean.
I'm doing good, and I'd like to say greetings to the Gunslingers Network.
Thank you,
baby. He's on board.
Isn't that cool?
That's so got cool. Some ring to it, doesn't it?
What can we do for you, Sean?
Well, I want to give you a hypothetical about German pistols used in World War II.
Okay.
And I'd like to put the hypothetical is that you are all three commandos, and you're behind lines, and you get to pick the cream of the crop of German pistols. Now, I'm going to take out the Luger and the high power.
Luger's my first choice.
Yeah, high power would be tough to give up.
And of course, this is going to be. I'm going to ask both you, Jeff, mm-hmm. Mark, and Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy, if you don't give me an answer, I'm going to pick one. I have one already picked: the Reich revolver and a ruby. So you better pick one.
Reich revolver and ruby.
We did a whole section on the ruby. I think everybody's passing that one hard and fast.
Yeah.
Okay. But, so you can pick any one that has been used.
Okay.
And I know, Mark, you like 1911s. And
I'm going with the Norwegian 11.7, baby.
Well, I think the Star 1911, you need a Largo, or you can pick two pistols, one in a full-size cartridge and one either in .380 or .32. What would you pick? And you could pick the Spanish ones if I know one of you are thinking about an Ostar or a Star, or you could use the Austrian ones or the P-38. Which pistol would you pick and why? And I want a pistol in either like a larger caliber, like 9mm, and a lower caliber in 32 or 380.
Well, for me, my first pick would probably be, and this is you know World War II era, but I would rather go with the pre-Nazi, the Polish Radom.
Radom's good gun.
Yeah, P-35. That's in a 9mm. That's an excellent gun. Once they got invaded and taken over, there's rumors, and I don't know that this is a fact, that the Poles would tend to tweak their guns a little bit to make them not work so good.
They also would steal one part at a time from each gun, and they would periodically build a new gun,
good
smuggle
on
it out, good and get that to the resistance.
Okay. And then the second one is the one that you already mentioned would be a P-38. P-38, the Walther P-38, and other companies.
That was on my list.
That's a pretty good gun.
Yeah. you know what? It's an excellent firearm. It's like it's a truck of a 9mm.
Boy.
They are strong. They're relentless. They work forever. You can throw them in the mud. It's kind of like the AK of handguns. The only drawback to the P-38 is it's double action. Mm-hmm. you need about two different people pulling that trigger at once, because I mean, it's such a hard pull that you could literally pull yourself off target with it. So those would be my two picks. How about you, Mark?
Oh, what? Oh, hold on one point.
Go ahead.
Also, throw in something like a 380 or 32 for backup.
He wants a small one as well. That's kind of easy for me.
Well, you know, anything Browning made, FN made a bunch of different stuff. The 1910, I think it's
1900. The M1900.
Yeah. How about a Walter?
Well, yeah, Walter PP.
That's such a good little gun.
Yeah, hard to beat that.
I would go, if I'm allowed the Norwegian 11-7, I would take the Norwegian and a Walter PP.
There you go. Jimmy?
All right, I was going to go with the P38 and the M1900. I had the PP on here. The Smith & Wesson Model 10 was on there, too. So I was like, hey, you know what?
Nice. Well, now, how did the Germans get a Smith & Wesson?
Well, was it only German? We're only staying with German? I thought it was throughout the whole entire.
He says you're behind enemy lines.
No, German.
But he'll still give you Spanish guns.
You always give me Spanish guns. So I guess in the bread of
1934. Get one of the Spanish pirate copies of the Model 10.
Yeah, well, you know what? I was going down, and the Australians had them. So I don't know how far the Australians were going during the dime. But no, we've named most of the greats already, but I guess the Beretta 1934 was on there as well. So.
Yeah.
How about the Walther, come on. The
Mauser HSC.
The Mauser HSC was the one I'm thinking of. That was a good gun, too.
Yeah, the Maybe Mauser AG is a good gun. There's lots of them out there, and believe it or not, I got an auction coming up, and we've got all of this stuff coming in.
You would not be poorly served with any of those.
No, the only... You know, the World War II guns you really got to be careful with are the Japanese stuff. The Nambu pistols, they are starting to become more and more popular with collectors. But boy, that's a gun that you want to admire.
From afar?
But not shoot. Yeah. First off, trying to find 8mm Nambu is just about impossible. But...
We left out all the great Italian firearms. Oh, you know my favorite, the Glizzenti.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, that doesn't even sound fun to pronounce.
It's
better to say than to shoot.
Well, the Glizzenti, if you took a Luger P08 and kind of run it over with a tractor and then threw it in the washing machine to shrink it up a little bit and then threw it back out on the street and let cars run over it for about a week, that's a Glizzenti.
That's all? Yeah. That's all.
You'd have to take most of the powder out of the cartridge, too.
Yeah, it's a rough cob of a firearm, and as most of theirs were. Yeah,
they got subguns right.
Yeah, they did. What's that, the 1938? Yep. That's a pretty popular firearm. But anyway.
Have we over-answered your question, Sean?
Probably so.
Oh, I love the answer, and I thought I was going to be able to fool you, Mark, but you got the 11... 0.25mm 1960 Norwegian there. I thought, I could fool you there, but you were good. And also on the Radom, that was the third most used firearm in the Third Reich.
Mm-hmm.
And the Polish also did another trick. They would have dual serial numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They'd make two guns with the same serial number. And the second one would go out with the resistance.
Absolutely, exactly. However, the Germans, the Nazis punished them incredibly severely for doing that, and they did it anyway. So props to freedom fighters wherever they are.
You bet. And speaking of, nobody mentioned the Liberator.
Okay, now in fairness, would that be the one that you chose?
No.
If you had any other options.
Well,
maybe the Ruby.
Maybe the Ruby or a Rock.
The Rock has a faster
really
reload.
Quick, the Liberator was made in the United States. It was kind of a pressed together gun.
It's made out of car fenders.
Yeah, it's a smooth bore, single shot 45 ACP that we dropped over enemy lines all over Europe in a box with about six different languages and a stick to take out the shell.
To push out the empty shell.
The whole point was to sneak
up
behind somebody.
Gun.
Yeah, sneak up behind somebody, shoot them, take their gun, and go about your business. But anyway, Sean, thanks for the call.
Okay, goodbye.
That's a good call. Thanks. Absolutely. You got us going. That was a fun one.
Oh, I like this song. This is a Pointer Sisters version. Anyway, that was a neat call. And anybody else, give us a call at
866-870-5752.
Lines are open now.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Gunslingers all over the southern United States, and we'll be back right after this.
Yes, we will.
You're pulling me close. Girl, you've got your family answer on that magic carpet.
Stalingrad last night. But when you wake up in the morning, the world still puts you uptight.
Where does he find these versions?
It's the ones we won't get caught for playing for too long.
Is that what it is? It's like the Ronco version of Paul Revere.
I didn't know there was a Site C on these records.
Yeah, brought to you on Channel 13 at 4 a.m.
Not the original band.
Yeah. The Ronco does the 60s.
Ronco.
By the Ronquettes.
Yeah.
Spelled W-R-O-N-G.
That's our Kevin. If he can find a bad version of any song, he will. Anyway, welcome back to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA, KCBQ, KTIE, and KKNT.
That is a mouthful.
Man.
Hey, man. Thanks all you guys for being on board.
Yeah, you bet.
So we're talking about World War II firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite?
Oh, boy.
And I got a specific question to ask you when you're done.
Okay. You know, it's like picking your favorite Beatles song. There's just
you know what?
So
that's
many.
Choose, that's a good shout.
Yeah,
that's
there's so shout. Many. Because how do you say no to any Garand? You know?
Well, that's going to be my question follow-up.
In Vegas, they had the Japanese Garand.
A real one?
A real one, yeah.
They made very few of those. Yeah, it's got to be worth a ton.
Yeah, they had one up on a wall behind glass. It was not for sale. It was
Mona Lisa time.
Yeah, just up on a wall. And for those of you that don't know, the M1 Garand was the battle rifle of the U.S. military during World War II. It was an 8-round semi-automatic and .30-06 rifle. And according to General Patton, the best war implement ever devised. At that time,
we had the first semi-automatic rifle into the fight. It was one of the very best rifles manufactured.
Yeah, and it's still a fantastic firearm to shoot, to have, to own. I've got a few.
So everybody else using bolt-action rifles had to hurry up and play catch-up, except apparently the French and the British.
So what the Japanese did was they got some Garands and they tried to reverse
engineer.
Yeah, and it...
Boy, I don't know where they got them from.
It's fugly. Let's just get it out there. This thing was funky looking, and I don't know that they ever had
scarcity
one.
Scarcity drives
worked.
Value, however, so if you have one.
Yeah, they are worth a small fortune.
Yeah.
So you buy a new car with what you probably get out of that thing. So
my question to you, and boy, this would be a fun one, and I think maybe you listeners could jump in on that. The SVT was a real good rifle.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really was. Big, heavy, ugly, and ran pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the German magazine fed one? Not the STG.
Well, the G40.
The G, that's the
one. G40 or the G43.
Yeah.
You know, I like that one better, and I'll tell you why. The SVT-40, now this is a Soviet gun. This was a semi-auto and, you know, SVT-40 for 1940, fairly early, even though most Soviet soldiers did not get
one. Never got their hands on it.
Yeah. You know, that movie, Enemy at the Gates, is fairly accurate as far as just go, and
when somebody dies, grab their rifle.
And keep on fighting. That was kind of how they had to do it over there. So the SVT-40 is a semi-automatic and 7.62x54R.
Which really going to limit the gun.
Yeah, and basically that's a .308 with a rim.
Mm-hmm. Rim creates feeding problems and magazine problems.
And it's got a very unusual recoil to it.
Well, is that due to how the stock looks on there? Because it looks like it sits lower. I'm looking at it right now. It looks like...
The comb kind of goes down. But what it does is it kicks back and to the right.
Back
and to the right. Back
and to the right.
And
we're learning to dance.
Which is fine if you're a right-handed shooter.
If you're a left-handed shooter.
But I'm not.
Do you know anybody left-handed?
I do.
So where did that casing fly?
Well, it wasn't the casing. It's the stock. Catches you right in the cheek. Mm-hmm. And if you're getting punched every time you shoot this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the Dragunov, believe it or not, does the exact same thing. It has a little bit of a oomph to it, and it gets you, it gets me right in the cheekbone.
Dragunov is the second most recent Russian sniper rifle.
Yeah. You know, it goes back. It's basically an exploded AK.
That's
very similar in action. It's just larger in 7.62x54R. Yeah. So, you know, both great guns. I love having them to sell, Wouldn't own one. So we've got, in fact, we have one of those in February auction.
Okay.
The SVT 40, yeah. And it is, they are strong. I remember selling those for about $7.99. I think this one's already up to about $2,500.
Dang. They didn't. How does one of those things make its way over to the United States even after the war, right?
Everything does, you know.
And I don't remember them like selling them for hunting rifles after the war.
The trick to the SVT is the magazines cost almost as much as the guns these days. The mag for an SVT 40, an original one, you're paying $500 these days for one of those. Yeah, go figure.
Okay, I'm looking at another one, but another machine gun here, the Maxim.
Yeah, that's really more of a World War One gun.
They're still in use today.
Okay.
Well, so you build it right, and they go.
That's the thing. It does look like almost like, especially for the time, almost like a futuristic type of gun. It would recoil operated and all that.
Simple, recoil operated, water cooled, which is why they're still in favor in some places in defensive settings, because you don't have to swap barrels out and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If your list includes the weight.
Oh, you know what? Let me go back.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason those things came on trailers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's go ahead and check it out. Oh, wow, there's a lot of stuff on here. Mass, 27.2, 60 pounds.
There you go. And that's just the gun. Yeah. Crew, now put some water in the jacket.
It has crew on there, so how many?
Crew served, yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
So you needed it's a four-man operator. But, wow. And, yeah, and then it shows a couple guys shooting it with their big wagon wheels on the either side of it and all. So
I can't imagine. The Japanese model Type 99 machine gun is loosely based on
a Hotchkiss.
Is it the Hotchkiss or the Maxim?
The one with the strip.
Yeah, with the strip.
Yeah, that's based on the Hotchkiss.
Okay. We actually have one of those in May dewadded.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, what that means, folks. This was once upon a time a machine gun, but it's been altered to, as we put in the description, does not shoot, cannot shoot, cannot be made to shoot,
never will shoot
again. Yeah, this is strictly for. And believe it or not, we've already had two museums call.
I was going to. Wow, there you go. Because not a lot of people have those in their men's room.
And honestly, this thing is complete and looks 100%. But
I meant to say man cave, by the way.
It's all been welded shut but they did a really nice job and it looks fantastic.
Given the equipment they had, you got to admit the Japanese played varsity with some really sketchy gear.
With peewee football stuff.
Boy.
One of my favorite stories, a few years ago, here in L.A., a lawyer got attacked by his own client with a .38, and the guy was hiding behind a tree. Yeah, and the guy was trying.
There's video of that.
Yeah, there is video of that, and this was such a hot video at the time that a Japanese news crew called me and asked me if they could come in and interview me about that. Oh, sure, come on in. These guys were straight off the boat. I mean, only one of them spoke English, and that was limited at best. Now, they come in.
I'd love to see the translated version of what that interview came out as. Well, please go on.
So they come in and they're looking because, you know, they haven't had a gun shop in Japan in.
Since the war.
Yeah. Yep. So they're just, you know, eyes as big as dinner plates, just looking around. Oh, Clint Eastwood. Because I have a huge signed autograph picture of Clint Eastwood on the wall. Clint Eastwood. You know, and so, you know, they're just, they want to see everything. They want to touch everything. And so I show them the gal, she was the reporter and she was the one that spoke English. And I brought down a Arisaka Type 99, put it on. This is a bolt action, World War II Japanese
standard
gun.
Rifle.
Yeah. Set it down, open it up, set it down on the counter and they're looking at it. Oh, you know, and then I show them a Garand and they start working at it. They're like, oh, no wonder we lost. I swear to you, that's actually what the man said. No wonder we lost. And it was like, well, you know,
and
don't
thing
poke
was,
the bear, chief.
There wasn't
a lot of development during the war either. You look at Russian equipment in 1939 and then 1945. I mean, American equipment the same. Japanese.
They actually went down, as we discussed last week. As time went by, and they started running low on things like steel and wood and
factories that weren't 100 feet underground.
Oh, yeah, blown to bits and so on and so forth. Some of their stuff got real
crude.
Rough. Yeah, the last ditch, which these are Type 99 rifles with no longer the brass butt plate, but just a piece of wood and horseshoe nailed on.
Literally nailed in place and spray paint on the...
Yeah. Yeah, no more bluing. These are like painted, and the rear sight is just a circle.
Yep. Like a washer.
Yeah, kind of. So yeah, just a circle kind of welded on there. And
coined the phrase last ditch for a whole different reason.
It's,
right?
It's so just an absolute
My question
pile.
For you, at the risk of hurting my feelings, how do you feel about Grands and 308?
I love them. Absolutely love them.
At the risk of hurting my feelings, you just not hurt my feelings. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, the
reason I ask, there may be a CMP coming my way.
Okay. And so a Navy gun, because pretty much only the Navy guns. I have a Navy gun, and I'll tell you what also I have, thanks to my old friend Steve, is I've got a real McCoy. Don McCoy was an armorer.
Who made target specials, yeah?
Uh-huh. And it's about...
White.
It's about a 15-pound Garand.
It's so you got lead in the stock.
Yeah.
And
it's in 308, and you talk about being able to hit flies at 200 yards. This gun will do it.
Well, the sights were always up to it. The question was mass-produced, of course, as a gun. Somebody goes through and hand-fettles them.
It is
Dang,
a shooter.
And you got one.
I do have one. Absolutely love it. I bring it out every now and again just
kind of show off.
Just to say, look what I got. I've got the whole spec sheet, you know.
Man.
My buddy Steve wanted to get into cowboy action shooting, and he came in and said, this is a real McCoy. And I looked at the paperwork, and I went, hammina, 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 hammina.
And here's your Rugers, and here's your Marlin.
Yeah, and I traded him off all that stuff. Hey, you know what? We're coming up on the bottom of the hour already. We're an hour and a half in. This is a live show, guys. If you guys want to call in.
That's going to be 866-870-5752.
One more time.
866-870-5752. Call in now.
And we've got Farmer Tyson, Arizona. We'll get to you right after the break.
Ooh, he's listening on his own domestic radio station, I'll bet you.
I sure hope so, because he's in Phoenix.
He is.
Okay.
The last time we're
what song is this? I can't even... Oh, Billie Holiday. Very good. Okay, you're listening to the Gunslingers right here on K.
RLA.
And then all the other guys.
All the rest.
We'll be back in a minute, guys.
Yeah.
I took even one sniff. That would bore me terrifically, too.
Many groups
I just got your leg. Too bad you can't come home. I swear I'm gonna cry. Sitting here all alone. Since you've gone, I got a melon blue.
Little Elvis, baby. You can't get through the night without a little Elvis. Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Gunslingers.
On KRLA, KKNT, KTIE, and KCBQ.
On the Gunslinger Network.
The network.
Radio, baby.
That's it. Okay, let's get to some phone calls. We got Farmer Tyson, Arizona. Farmer, how are you?
Doing great. Took my son to the range today.
Good man.
Love to hear it, Farmer Tyson.
Made a couple of friends, some Hell's Angels, really nice young men. Anyway, you were talking about a P-38. I have one. It's matching a nice holster, matches the gun with a spare slot for the
mag,
for the extra magazine.
Yeah.
And it's a double action semi-automatic. So the first pull of the trigger with a bullet in the chamber, it's not really a hard pull. It's pretty smooth on the one I have. And then it snaps into a single action, a semi-automatic mode.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a 1911.
With a spongy trigger.
The problem with that gun is if you clean it.
Oh, yeah, you were mentioning this to me.
There's a little lever that you push down to take the slide out. If you push that lever all the way out of the gun, you will have a hell of a time getting it back.
Mm-hmm.
It took me about an hour to get it back.
Yeah, the Luger has issues with taking it apart, too.
I was going to call last week, but I was trying to get that gun back, and I couldn't figure out how to get it back. And I looked and looked and looked. I finally found the way.
Mm.
But anyway, It's a nice pistol, but I really prefer my 1911 Super 38.
Of course, but that wasn't part of the option.
No, that nobody offered us that choice.
Yeah, that would have been a first and foremost, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, that was G. Gordon Liddy's favorite gun. I used to know G. Gordon Liddy a long time ago when he was in New York on the radio. Washington, D.C. on the radio station. Yeah.
Hey, Farmer, what part of Arizona are you from? Well, not from,
North
but where do you
Phoenix.
Live? North Phoenix. So up by Ben Avery?
Yeah. In fact, I'm about 16 miles from Ben Avery.
Okay. Yeah, it's a great range. Love going up there.
State-sponsored range.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got a huge home with three extra rooms. If you're ever up here, let me know.
Oh, will do. How's the weather over there?
Yeah, that's important to us.
How's it looking for the next couple of weeks? Is it?
It was a little chilly today, and probably the high 60s. Mm-hmm. But weather is beautiful. In fact, I like the weather better here than I did in California. Believe it or not, I don't mind the heat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How's the surf?
But I spent 64 years trying to straighten that state out, and finally I just said the hell.
You know what? You did your time, fair and square.
Yeah, it's got a big bend in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Farmer, we got a couple more. We got a couple more calls. We got to get going. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Okay. Nice talking to you, Jimmy. Take care.
You too. Great hearing from you.
Talk to you later. Okay, let's get to our friend Mike in El Segundo. Mike, how are you?
Hi, Dylan. Doing great. Thanks for your wonderful show. I'm glad that you're growing and you're on more stations. That is just excellent. So keep on going till you get to the East Coast.
That means you're on more stations too.
Yeah. We're going to have the mic segment. Go ahead, Mike.
There you go. Okay, a couple things. One, since we have the election coming up, the primary in California, mm-hmm. March 5th, it'd be good to talk every show to remind people that they can go to the CRPA.org website, California Rifle and Pistol Association, to get voter recommendations.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So you should probably mention that every show, maybe during or after Rick Travis's segment.
Well, why? We got you.
There you go. Okay, I'll just keep calling in. That's fine. No problem.
We always enjoy it.
And I want to remind everyone that the simplest way to vote is to always vote single issue, pro-Second Amendment, pro-self-defense and gun rights, because then you're voting against all the really bad communist socialist candidates, and they really are. I mean, mm-hmm. they're not even trying to hide it anymore.
Nope.
They want to steal everything, our homes, our life savings, our retirements, through what they call taxes. When they want to steal more of our money, they just say, let's raise taxes and let's create new taxes, and we'll raise those taxes. And also, when you vote against the anti-gun candidates, which are basically the Democrats, you end up voting against the child groomers, the ones that have been passing laws in California and in other states as well, for that matter, to sexualize and groom little children down to kindergarten age. It's just incredible. And in California, age 12 and up, now the schools can literally kidnap the children from their parents if they get the children to say they think they might be the other sex, which they brainwash them to believe that.
So
then
scary.
They can take them away, send them to a state-run group home, and have them go through the transgender sex change procedures, even though you can never really change your sex. Also, regarding taxes, if you vote pro-gun, strictly, single issue, you're almost always voting for those who want to let us keep more of our hard-earned money and more of our savings. If you vote ever for an anti-gun candidate, you're almost always voting for the politicians who want to steal everything from us. And on every other issue, you go down all the important issues, a massive illegal immigration, letting all the drugs and fentanyl into our country, that's the Democrats for that, Republicans against it, or the anti-gun candidates are for open borders, pro-gun candidates are against it. So on any issue that's important, if you vote single issue pro-gun, you're almost always, probably about 98% of the time, voting the correct way. So it's a real simple rule to follow.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely, yeah. So
CRPA.org
and has all your resources for the voting that you should be doing, folks.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk guns a little bit. There used to be a Beretta Model 70S 22 long rifle semi-auto pistol. Is that still being manufactured, or is that still available? Do you know?
I don't think they're making it anymore, but I'm pretty certain I know an auction that's got a couple coming up.
That was a really nice pistol. And here's the funny twist on that. It was basically sort of like a pocket-sized 22 pistol. It was a very nice one. But in order to allow it to be imported into the United States, they had to put on a target sight. I think it had a rear target adjustable sight and a target grip. So you had a little thumb rest on the grip. They had to do that to get enough points on the federal point system under the Gun Control Act of 1968, because that law, the Democrats basically wrote that law so it does not recognize your right to self-defense as a legitimate reason to own a firearm. They only recognize sporting and recreational use of firearms. This shows how sick and evil these Democrats are. Mm-hmm. They do not value or recognize your right to protect yourself and your family. So that's something to keep in mind. Anyway, so they also sold a separate, you know, flat grip piece, so you could
swap that out.
The target could swap it out, so now it was more like a pocket gun if that's what you wanted, or just if you didn't want that thumb rest, you didn't have to have that sticking out the side.
I always thought those were good-looking pistols. Are they reliable?
Yeah, they're good guns. They're good?
They were, at least for me. I shot before, and I thought it was quite reliable for me. I mean, I thought it was a really great little gun, so I really enjoyed that.
I've seen them with 6-inch barrels on them, too, by the way. Yeah.
Which is a legit target pistol at that point.
Length barrels.
Yeah.
So they had to market or import it as a target pistol, even though it certainly was not like a Smith & Wesson Model 41, obviously. I mean, big difference.
But what is?
Yeah.
By the way, the Smith & Wesson 41s, are those all, I assume they're all computer numerical control? Are they all interchangeable parts, or are there parts that are...
Actually, the Smith & Wesson Model 41, which is a 22 semi-auto, are all handmade. Always have been.
Oh, they are. They're all fitted parts then.
Yep. Yeah, you can get parts. Sometimes they will work. Sometimes you have to have them fitted.
And fitted.
Yeah. So, but yeah, those,
you get what you pay for.
That's why those guns have always had the collectibles.
Yeah. Well, those are really great guns.
Anyone
who shot one, I think, will really love it. It's for target pistols. It's just really fantastic.
I've got three or four.
Do you like those pistols, Jeff?
Oh, a little bit. Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, we're coming up on a break, and I got one more phone call. So. We'll talk to you.
There you go. You guys have a great evening.
Thank you, sir.
You too. Take care. Thanks so much.
Okay, let's jump over to Oscar in Canyon Country. Oscar, what can we do for you?
Yes, my niece is considering buying a gun, and she was asking if they make, like, rubber bullets for self-defense.
No.
Oh, the Byrna.
Yeah. At one time, people have tried. Mm-hmm. You can get, like, bean bags for shotguns, but they're pretty much only given to police departments. I don't think the civilians.
You can buy a pistol now. It's a CO2 powered pistol, and it hits hard, and you can get pepper balls with them, and you can get pepper balls with them and stuff like that.
Not a
huge fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was wondering if that was just basically law enforcement only who would have something like that, and I told her, you never know. With something like that, you just might make them angry, and it might not do anything.
Exactly.
That's always the fear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, as far as rubber bullets, like I said, I don't think so much. They do have the beanbag ones, but pretty much only police departments are issued those.
Yeah, generally only issued to them.
Right. That is correct.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
Recommend a modestly calibered pistol that she can shoot well.
And we got one more segment, and we now have all lines open at
866-870-5752. One more time, 866-870-5752.
All right. You're listening to Gunslingers right here on all kinds of stations.
On the Gunslinger Radio Network.
Thank you kindly. I like that better. And we'll be right back.
Yes, we will.
Key of A, got it.
Well, she got her daddy's car and she cruised through the hamburger stand now. Seems she forgot all about the library like she told her old man now. And with the radio blast and goes cruising just as fast as she can now.
Welcome back, everybody, to Gunslinger Show. On
last
the
segment?
Gunslinger Radio Network.
We're just going to take a while getting used to that.
You know what?
It's kind of cool. We got a big poster that says so. Thanks, Kevin.
And again, if you guys want to watch this show instead of just listen.
We are on pretty much all platforms that you know of. Facebook Live,
YouTube and Rumble, the Gunslinger Radio Hour, the Gunslinger, it's Gunslinger Auctions on YouTube, and the Gunslinger Hour and the Gunslinger Radio Show now just on Facebook. So if you type in Gunslinger in all those, you'll see our banner, Gunslinger Auctions or Gunslinger Hour Radio Show. And join the conversation. All of the comments are piping in. We'll get to any questions you have there. We're trying to do them on and off air. So listen in and join the fun.
There you go. We're already in our last segment.
Last segment.
That means we're going home soon.
for you and I, soon is a relative term.
Well, we're going home, and we ain't going to get there soon.
No, yeah. Sir.
Mark gets home in 3.5 minutes. It takes me a
It's not right.
Solid
it's not
hours.
Fair. But I do solid. It on a motorcycle, so I suffer, believe me, tonight as much as you guys do.
Yeah, yeah.
It is
yeah.
a little bit brisk.
A little bit chilly. Yeah, out at the world-famous Double R Bar.
World-famous.
It was 39 degrees when we started shooting this
and
morning.
And there is nothing brisk. Like fine motor skills and control at 39 degrees.
Yeesh.
I'm going to.
Yeah, I haven't had a miss in about 3 matches, and I went up first stage. I had 2 misses right out
you know
the
what?
Bat.
Good prep for the world championship because mm-hmm. No matter how good the weather's supposed to be,
it's always
there's yeah. always one really frosty morning.
Yeah, and you shoot in 3 different waves: first, second, and third. And boy,
you're gonna
that,
do 1:7:30.
Yeah, and
God help you.
That first wave is always a bear. Oh.
You know, I've started taking one of those Radiant propane heaters, and I'm everybody's favorite guy in the posse when I put that at the loading table.
Oh,
and everybody's yeah. just.
That's a good idea. You know, I may be going to Harbor Freight tomorrow. That's a
it's
hell of
a it's
idea.
A solid plan. Seriously,
yeah, that's a good idea.
It won't hurt your
and,
it won't
and
hurt your
since I will be having the world's greatest posse leader, Johnny Ringo.
Hey, now.
Have was, they done posse lists already?
I don't know if
or
they put out
know?
Posse lists. Because I got
he's a good one.
Yeah,
he's a good one.
And we'll have our atypical cast of characters. Except no Frito this year. Frito Bandito is doing a bat mitzvah, and so he won't be with us this year. So that's kind of a bummer.
Remember the old Hank Greenberg didn't play in a playoff game because he was because it was the High Holy Days.
Right.
And I still remember the poem. We shall miss him with the glove. We shall miss him at the bat. But he's true to his religion, so I honor him for that.
Yeah, fair
so,
enough.
There you go, Dave.
Yeah. He's a good guy. Shot with him this morning. And he won a stage, I think.
Good man.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah,
he's got some game.
Yeah.
But you won a stage shooting freaking duelist? Come on.
Yeah. Well, classic cowboy. So not only duelist, but with exposed hammer double.
Hey, now. Don't
you work that
short.
Sucker pretty good. Right?
Well, I try. What can I say? I mean, I'm still a little butthurt that they took away my class out at the world championship. They need to work on this. And
yeah.
And fix a few things. You know, there's too many classes to begin with, and some of these, if they're not filling up, they just need to go to senior plus. And when I first started, when you first started, there was pretty much
like 4 categories.
Yeah, there was mm-hmm. duelist,
gunfighter, modern, and
well, I didn't even, I remember when that first started. Actually, when I first started, there was traditional, which meant traditional sights on your handgun. There was modern, which meant you could use the Black Hawk.
Yep.
And they were always arguing over the 97 should be in the modern class
only.
Oh,
yeah.
Remember that? And then there was duelist and senior, I believe, were the 4 classes for men. And duelist being you shoot with one hand.
Like you would in the Old West, one hand on the reins, one hand on the gun.
Yeah, and those were...
By the way, you ride a horse.
I do.
Would you feel about galloping at speed with armed opposition, steering the horse with the reins in your teeth and your knees?
Is that a fill your hands, you...
the only reason I ask is because you have knowledge of both disciplines. How would that go for you?
Not well.
Thank you very much.
Not well.
The screenwriter's on my side.
Oddly enough, when you launch around, horses don't really like that.
As a rule, they tend to get a little persnickety.
Now, there are horses out there that have been
trained
to it. Yes.
Mine or not.
But when you reach that arm out, that firearm is going off right next to his eye
and his ear. Yep. And they do make, believe it or not, they do make earplugs for horses. I have yet to find a horse that will take the earplug, at least not one that I owned. But I tried that one time.
I think we have some commenters on Facebook that have done some of the riding shooting.
I love to watch it, and
it's very cool.
I am a happy participant in the stands.
It is basically barrel racing.
Yeah, it's barrel racing.
Shooting balloons.
Yeah, shooting balloons with blanks.
Yep.
Mounted shooting, if you ever get a chance. I know at Ingalls Park in Norco, we get, I think, once a month, and at Rahagi's shooting range, once a month, they do practice matches in both spots. And it is an absolute kick
like
in the pants
said,
to watch.
Like you said, it is so fun to watch.
Yeah, like Mark said, it's kind of like barrel racing. You have a little... route that you take, and then you always do your first pistol on that little route, and your second is always a rundown where they go straight down, and
and balloons on both sides.
Yeah, and of course you only have five rounds in your six shooter, because in the old West your sixth round was only loaded on an emergency situation,
right?
Because that firing pin would be sitting right on top of
a hot primer,
and that could be an issue.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, so you get out there and beep goes off and they go tearing into it, and it is fun to see. They do it with handguns, they do it with lever guns, and even shotguns, and I've even seen them do it off of a cart.
At Coming At You, they do that, and I think that might be the biggest event they have.
I tell you,
honest, that's a hoot.
I would love to try it on the cart. I don't know if I could hit the ground with one of my shells, but I would love to give it a try.
Well, because you used to shoot with one hand. You'd have a good time doing it. I did it a couple times. It is, again, that's great fun.
Yeah.
And the cart doesn't have a mind of its own.
Let's see if we can squeeze him in. Howard in L.A. Howard, what can we do for you?
Can you give me the date for the CRPA meet at the Angeles Range?
Oh, that will be the third Wednesday of the month. And if you give me a second, I will even take a second and look that up, because I don't know myself. let me see. Wednesday, 1, 2, 3. That'll be the 21st of February and the 20th of March.
If you've signed up for their newsletter, check your email, and they come in there pretty frequently.
I don't have email.
Okay, well, if you don't, that'll be good too. Well,
March again?
What are the dates?
I'm sorry. We're going back to the calendar here. Okay, so that will be February the 21st.
And March.
And March the 20th.
Thank you very much.
You're
very welcome. Hope to see you there.
Take care.
It's a good cause.
Yeah. Well, why need a computer when you can just call us?
Well, that's right. We are your resource.
Talk about having the answers.
Well, okay. So they do have them on their website. They will email you. And then if you check your firing line, the newsletter in the mail, the magazine, they also have them in the back of that as well, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, you have a bunch of resources to make sure you find your local chapter. And make sure you stop in and say hi to everyone. Because always a great group of people, always with like minds. And it's great to keep yourself informed.
And if you haven't joined yet, you definitely need to.
These are people fighting for all of our rights. And, Mike made a really good point. Typically, the people that are on the side of the Second Amendment are the people that don't want the idiocy. They don't want the high taxes. They don't want the stupid laws, which affect everything from whether or not you get to have a dryer in your own home to whether you get to have a gas stove to whether you can eat meat. Honestly. Mm-hmm. So,
soon they'll be taxing your taxes, and then your taxes will be taxed.
They're already taxing your taxes.
Exactly. I'm just saying, there's no end to what they're going to try to take away from you.
Yeah.
And falsely think that they're giving you anything for it.
Well, and that's why it's so important that they first disarm you so they can get away with that.
Because if you think about it, look what they're doing to us, and we're armed. And could you imagine what they're going to do to us when we're not?
Mm-hmm. When you have no recourse at all.
And like I always say, never trust a government that doesn't trust you. They don't trust us to have firearms. What are they up to?
Yeah, come on. I mean,
I'll get off my soapbox.
If your employees were bossing you around, right?
Well,
that's a good line.
It's just scary what these people have in mind for us. Mm-hmm. And again, it's going to be a lot harder for us to fight back if all we got are pointed sticks and rocks.
Yeah, I want to keep my points in my firearm and make sure that they're getting him.
Keep our options open.
Well, right,
we got a couple more minutes. Anybody wants to call in the last minute or two, feel free.
Yeah, it's going to be 866-870-5752. One more time, 866-870-5752.
All right.
I want to take, we're talking about World War II semis. Hmm? How about World War I revolvers?
Okay.
Which would you go? You got the Colt News Service.
Yeah, the Colt News Service and the Smith & Wesson.
Not 1917?
Yeah, 1917. And basically the same gun.
And the Webley?
I'm not a big Webley guy. I don't like that 455. A little anemic.
No question about it. And it's like, I'm so we're asking, which one?
I would go probably, well, either the Smith or the Colt. Of course, you know, Indiana Jones liked the Smith.
I think the Smith is a better handgun.
Do you?
The Colt's a little bit unwieldy.
Well,
it's a good gun, let there be no doubt.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit unwieldy. The Smith is, to me, always felt more modern.
Fair enough. Hard to go wrong. But then again, World War One, you've got the 1911.
If you had the 1911, way my first choice, but I was very appropriate with the revolvers.
Oh, with the revolver. Well, right? And you know what? I mean, let's face it. You're still shooting a single-action Colt in World War One. Lots of guys probably had them.
Yeah, that's all.
And you know, it is limited to six, and like we were saying, probably five if you're going to be running around. But if you know how to shoot a single-action, they work every bit as fast as a double.
And it might... It might serve you in good stead up close and personal.
Mm-hmm.
The reload's a bitch, but that first it buys you that first 30 seconds,
yep.
Man.
Yep. And the Smith & Wesson, was it the M&P pre-10?
Yeah.
In 38 would be a good choice.
Caliber.
Well, 38 Smith &
Wesson. Especially round nose lead.
Yeah, it's a little anemic. I have to agree with you there. But then again, you know, I would have been a grunt because there was no way I could have ever been an officer, and I would have only been issued a long gun.
All right. Springfield or P-17?
Oh, Springfield. Every day of the week. The 1903, in my opinion, it's a sleeker gun. It's prettier. It's smoother to hold, easier to work. The sights are a little easier to...
No question about that.
Yeah,
it is sleek
the
extreme.
M17 is a big clunky... If I needed a bat, I'd go with the M17.
Good place to park a bayonet.
Yeah, something like that. But
you're absolutely right. I agree with you 100% on the 03.
There's the old music on the wall. That means it's time to go home.
Wow.
That was a quick 2 hours, folks. All right. Want to thank everybody on all our new stations...
That's going to be KRLA, KCBQ, KTIE, and KKNT.
You've been listening to The Gunslinger Show on the Gunslinger Network right here in L.A.
Uh-huh.
Well, and everywhere else.
Phoenix. Hey,
we'll be back next week, 7 p.m. Tune in. Tell your friends.
Post-auction.
Oh, yeah, post-auction. Don't forget, GunslingerAuctions.com. Goodbye.
God
everybody.
Bless, guys.
Good
love
night,
you.
Everybody.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.